The following podcast contains explicit language.
I'm Stephen Metcalf, and this is the Slate Culture Gabfest Summer Strut 2019 edition. It's Wednesday, July 3rd. Is that woo for strut or for July 3rd as it leads into
for
the July
strut,
4th holiday?
For strut. I have to say it's like the test of strut is that I have to be up at like 5 a.m. to tape at the same time as you guys. And I'm like, these songs are bangers. So
okay, well, these songs are bangers. And it's Wednesday, July 3rd, 2019. On today's show, strutty, smutty, in your hands like silly putty, we talk a multitude.
That's for you, Dana. Did you just come up with that? That was good.
I did. Thank you. We talk a multitude of songs that you, our listeners, sent us on the theory that what makes you strut may just possibly make us strut, but sometimes they don't, but that's fine. As always, for this special annual ritual, we're joined by Human Jukebox, Chris Malamphy, who will also be talking us through the Song of Summer. But first, my co-panelistas, joining us from Los Angeles is Julia Turner, who is a deputy managing editor at the LA Times. Hey, Julia.
Good morning.
You didn't know that I could rap, did you?
I mean, the jury's out.
Steve's got some bars.
Slate Plus is just freestyling from Steve. We're all going to be totally silent.
Let's do it.
Oh, God. They'll all cancel.
And I beatbox.
Be so careful what you wish for. And of course, Dana Stevens is the film critic for Slate Magazine. Hey, Dana.
Hey.
And Chris, why wait any longer? Chris Malamphy is a longtime music contributor to Slate and Billboard and various other publications, and he hosts the Marvelous Hit Parade podcast. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Steve. It's great to be here.
This is a big week for Chris Malamphy, isn't it?
It is. I'm getting married as we are taping on a Tuesday in 3 days, 2 days when people hear this. I'm already kind of public about that fact because the end of my most recent Hit Parade episode, which came out on Friday, features a special live performance by my soon-to-be stepson, Tom. And so, yeah, I kind of revealed at the end of the episode, by the way, I'm getting married in a week, and here's my stepson-to-be playing a song from a Broadway show. So anyway, yeah, that's happening.
Oh, God, that's so great. So yeah. Sweet.
Yeah, magnificent and a total mensch move to join us for the annual rites.
All right, so just for new listeners, Summer Strut is an ancient tradition on the Culture Gabfest. Many years ago, I issued a plaintive plea that I needed new music to help me strut through the streets of New York, and listeners responded in droves, emailing us stuff, putting stuff on Facebook, sending us stuff by Twitter, and it's become this amazing annual tradition where all of you send us songs you think we could strut to, new, old, cool, wildly outré, all types, and then we, with the help of Alex Barish, get them into a gigantic playlist, which Dana and Steve and I sift through with the help of Chris Malamphy, and then we nominate some faves to invigorate your own playlists in the months to come. And it is like better than Christmas for me. I love this annual tradition. It launched totally by accident and has become literally like my main source of music discovery. So thanks to listeners, and I'm excited about what we've got this year.
All right. Well, before we start talking about the songs that popped for us on the strut list, let's talk a little bit about the Song of Summer. So Chris, as always, set it up as just as a concept and then fill in the blank.
All right. Well, we have to talk about the song that ate the year, that is dominating everything, that has just cleared the field, that nobody saw coming. And I've already been on the Cult Fest to talk about it once. And that is Old Town Road by Lil Nas X. And in its most popular version, featuring Billy Ray Cyrus.
Town living like a rock star, spend a lot of money on my brand new guitar. Baby's got a habit, diamond rings and Fendi sports bras, riding down Rodeo in my Maserati sports car. God knows stress, I've been through all that. I'm like a Marlboro.
This thing has now been number one as I speak for 13 weeks. It is setting records in the process. It is the song that was so controversial. Billboard got sucked into a controversy over whether or not it is a country song. By the way, to update everybody, a dozen weeks after I was last on the Cult Fest, it never appeared on the country chart again. Billboard kept it off. The Nashville Industrial Complex did not accept it as a country song. To be fair, it really didn't gain traction in radio airplay at country stations. But it has been an absolute out-and-out pop dominator, and there is next to no chance anything will top it for Song of the Summer. Like I said, it's been number one for 3 months.
This just make me gramps, but I just, like, what is it about this song? Is it, it just doesn't, I mean, this is the first one that, to me, I mean, Song of Summer, I may like it or not like it, but I understand why it becomes a near universal earworm. But this one, I get that it's an earworm, but what is it about this song? Like, I just don't understand the staying power of it.
I mean, neither does the music business, because nobody, like I said, nobody saw this coming. And in a way, the way you're framing this is useful, because the thing about this song is that it's a giant killer. The answer to your question of why is, it is sort of the ultimate viral song, you know. And Dana, you were making this point when I was on here a few months ago to talk about the song in the first place. Like, Lil Nas X understands the internet, right? He created this thing that sprouted into something called the Yeehaw Challenge on TikTok, a Vine-like service where people wanted to dress up as cowboys and post their own versions of the meme of, you know, being, you know, taking your horse to the Old Town Road. And it's hybrid to the max. It's this thing that was built out of a Nine Inch Nails sample that sounds weirdly twangy. So it's got alternative rock in its bones. It's got country in its bones. It's now got Billy Ray Cyrus actually singing, you know, a country vocal on top of it. And yet he calls it country trap because it's fundamentally a hip hop joint. So, you know, it is just, it's in a weird way, it's fitting to me that we're ending the 2010s with this record that is impossible to put in any single genre. All of the songs that, to Steve's point, you would normally think would be Song of the Summer. This thing has, among the many records it is in the process of setting by staying at number one for 13 weeks, it has now defeated literally seven number two songs. Seven different songs have made a run at this and peaked at number two. That's a record in Billboard history. Prior to that, this is fun, the last time a record held off that many songs was 1991. Bryan Adams's Everything I Do It For You held off five number two songs. This thing has held off seven, including two by Taylor Swift and two by Shawn Mendes. So all of these records that were lining up like planes on a runway to be Song of the Summer contenders are all getting defeated by Old Town Road, this record that barely even existed 6 months ago. The guy started it as a meme more than a song, and here we are.
All right. Well, I don't know if we need to go through all of the number twos, but are there any of the would-be songs of summer that you particularly like or think would have been exciting number ones or think we should discuss? Like, what's your top contender of the also-rans?
I would say there's one that I think we should watch, and there's one that I like the best. The one I like the best, and it's kind of the sleeper hit, I think you can call it that in multiple ways, of the summer, is Billie Eilish's Bad Guy.
So you're a tough guy, like you're really rough guy, just can't get enough guy, just always so puff guy. I'm that bad type, make your mama sad type, make your girlfriend mad type, might seduce your dad type. I'm the bad guy. Duh.
It's a good song. It's my favorite of all these number two hits. I am surprised it was a number two hit. If you had asked me 3 months ago, well, Billie Eilish, she's sort of the buzz of the year, and she's sort of like the teen pop artist who's less pop than kind of this weird alternative rock slash hip hop inflected, you know, interesting heir to the throne of everyone from Kate Bush to Lorde. You know, she's really quirky artist. Would she have an actual radio hit? I would have said, nah, you know, the album will sell well, but I don't see it scoring a hit. It's generated an actual hit. It just, you know, moved into the top 40 airplay, top 10 this week, and it's actually getting a ton of airplay. And it's this very fun, spooky, weird record. And it peaked at number two. The fact that it got that high, unlike some of the other contenders, it's a pleasant surprise that it got to number two. And then, in terms of records that were supposed, you know, Lil Nas X killers that couldn't quite go the distance, there have been two by Taylor Swift. The first was this record she put out back in April, May, called Me! Exclamation point, with Brendan Urie of Panic at the Disco. Bright chipper pop, and it rose all the way to number two, but couldn't go the distance.
I promise that you'll never find another like me.
And the one that everybody's now paying attention to because it seems to be gaining more traction is her follow-up hit, which is called You Need to Calm Down. That is sort of her Pride Month record, and it's this record where she is espousing her support for LGBTQ plus rights.
And I ain't trying to mess with your self-expression, but I've learned a lesson that stressing and obsessing about somebody else is no fun. And snakes and stones never broke my bones, so...
It has been pointed out, including here at Slate, that it's a little bit on the nose in that regard and sort of trying to traffic in politically correct tropes for its own sake, somewhat dubiously. I will say that between the two singles, it's the catchier record, I think, and it's the one that just as a pure radio song stands the best chance, I think, of gaining some traction as the summer goes on. And if by some chance Lil Nas X fades, then maybe Taylor can, you know, steal a march. But it will take a few weeks for something like that to happen.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right. Well, let's I think now the time has come to transition into the main portion of the broadcast here, which is Strut. Who wants to start? Julia.
Well, first of all, I would point out just a few generalized things about the list. There was so much Italian pop on it. I don't know Yes. who among our listeners was Yes. like really into Italian pop. Italian is like the only modern language I've ever truly learned. And Italian pop, as a general rule, is dreadful. Like, sorry, Italian pop fans, but it's like not. I've always wished to find Italian pop artists that I love. And I'm not sure this list persuaded me otherwise. Also, there was a lot of fiddling. Like, I was just putting it on rotation in the car and I was like, who's sending us all the fiddling? Like, can you strut to a fiddle? That is one of the existential questions posed by this year's list. I would also like to shout out to the person who submitted, I assume it's one person, maybe it's multiple, but someone submitted a trio of songs, a song with Dana's name in it, a song with my name in it, and then a song from Taylor Swift that we've somehow never discussed called Hey Steven, which seems to be a come on to Steven, which read within the context of this podcast is just deeply, deeply hilarious. So props to all of you who spend your time making us like a mega celestial mixtape that we then get to spend our time sorting through. All right, well, but for sheer like combination of novelty and stratability, I will recommend Spicy with Diplo and Charlie XCX. I liked that because I was into it before I realized that it was some kind of modernized remix of the Spice Girls. And then I was like, wait, this is what this is? And then it just made me laugh and it made me smile and then it made me strut. So that's my opener.
It's a good opening bid.
Yeah, that one is, I mean, I love that they gave it a different title. They didn't just call it Wannabe, even though it is pretty plainly Wannabe, but really interpolated so heavily that it retains very little of the musical quality of the original Spice Girls hit, but all of the, well, a lot of the sass. I'm not sure you can say it contains all of the sass, not the sass of five Spice Girls 20 years ago. But anyway, yeah, that was an interesting one.
Yeah, Julia, since you're talking about covers that snuck up on you, there was one, an Angelique Kidjo cover of the Talking Heads song Once in a Lifetime that it was well into after the beat dropping on the song that I realized she was just straight up covering a Talking Heads song because it's such a great remix of it with such a different set of sounds. And also somehow a woman singing the song and an African woman singing the song brings out a total different side to the lyrics.
And you may tell yourself, this is not my beautiful house. And you may tell yourself, this is not my beautiful world. Letting the days go by. Letting the
I even have a question about the lyrical content there. Is the original lyric letting the days go by? I always thought it was just and the days go by, but something about letting them go by seems so much more relaxing.
It is letting, yeah.
It is letting.
All right, that was just a Mondegreen on my part from the original song, but she brings out the side of that song that's, I don't know, a funky hammock swinger.
And African, because the thing about Remain in Light, she did a full album cover of Remain in Light, the 1980 Talking Heads album. The thing about Remain in Light was that when David Byrne and the rest of the band recorded it, they were intentionally, as a bunch of, you know, East Coast white people trying to ape the sound of African music, like quite openly, you know, the bass lines they picked up for the time. They had already experimented with that on previous albums like Fear of Music, and they went further on Remain in Light. And, you know, the bass line that the doom 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 that they were trying to play on that record, that Tina Weymouth is playing on that record, is indebted to African sounds, and several tracks on that album are African in nature. And here we have kind of the queen of Afropop returning the favor and recording the whole album and bringing out the African flavor of it in honor to it, in homage to it.
One thing I will say about that song, there were also a few songs on this year's list that were also submitted last year. And I had like a long list last year that I didn't get to talk about every single song on mic, but that song was also submitted last year and made my long list, which has been in heavy rotation for the last 12 months. And I can just say from 12 months hence, that's a song that stands the test. Like every time it comes on, I'm like, yes, what? This is such a great version of this song. So mm-hmm. that also gets durability points.
Okay. Well, I mean, there's just so many, but I was very, very amused by a cut called Get Down, You Dirty Rascal by Six, featuring Genesis Linnea. And I think you got to play it through to the chorus, which is also hilarious. Paid for with my own riches, where my hounds had released the bitches. Woof. Every day, head back for a round of croquet, because I'm a player. And tomorrow, I'll hit replay. You said that I tricked you, because I didn't look like my profile picture. Too bad I don't agree. So I'm gonna hang it up for everyone to see. And you can't stop me, because I'm the queen of the castle. Get down, you dirty rascal. Get down. What is it about that song that speaks to me?
It's hilarious. I love that song for the same reason the character she creates is just so, and the shift between this kind of this weird archaic world of being the queen and then somehow also being on Tinder at the same time.
Yes, exactly.
I also just, it's like the uncanniness of listening to songs from this list where you have just no context. It's so radical and fun. Like that stopped for me a couple times too. And I was like, what is this? Do I like this? Or is this ludicrous? Mm-hmm. Is this real? Or is this a joke? And then like the third listen, did I look at the thing and be like, oh my God, this is a cast recording. Like, what musical was this? What is this?
It's a musical.
Chris, do you know?
I know this much about it. And I'm holding my fingers together. I don't think it's come to New York yet. I don't think it's on Broadway or even off Broadway, but it is. It has been in the West End of London. It's a British musical about, I think, the Six Wives of Henry VIII. It's basically like a satire of Henry VIII. And yeah, so it's from a musical that I think has gotten to Chicago, but not yet to Broadway. So very appropriate, since I just did a whole podcast episode about show tunes and Broadway music, and this is a very unusual show tune. So we'll see if it crosses over and becomes a hit, but I found it hilarious. One thing I think we should address is some of the repeat artists that are all over this list. Like, it seems like every year there's like a king or queen of the list. Like last year, it was arguably Janelle Monáe, because I felt like there were three or four or five songs from Janelle Monáe. This year, I would say the queen is Lizzo, whom we've talked about in many prior years, but she's actually got a new album out this year. And something like half a dozen tracks from the album, 'Cause I Love You, wound up in this list. Probably the catchiest, and I believe it was the first single from the album, is called Juice.
Just say I'm not the baddest, bitch you lie.
Yeah, so that was pretty clearly designed to be sort of like the lead off. I believe Dana often talks about the mascara jam every year, the sort of getting ready to go out, you know, single from the album. And it did okay on the charts, but surprisingly, a very left field song that was a bonus track on her new album and was on a rom-com soundtrack a couple years ago called Truth Hurts is now the actual biggest hit. And it's in the top 20 as I speak. And it was reused, repurposed this year for a Netflix rom-com called Someone Great. And it's as a result of that, it's oddly, and it's not as fluffy a single. It's more of a down and dirty hip hop joint. That's become the big hit from the Lizzo album. What I find interesting, the fact that that's the hit, it's more of a trap jam, and it almost sounds like, I don't know, Bad and Bougie or you know, some of the sort of SoundCloud era rap hits that we've heard in the last couple of years, and that's the one that's crossing over at radio, which is an unusual sound for Lizzo, actually.
I just want to thank all the people who sent in Lizzo songs. I feel like I'm one of the first people to start championing her on this show, and I almost had to start skipping over her tracks on this because I didn't want to just turn it into a Lizzo listening session, which I have all the time anyway. but that's all great summer strutting stuff.
Yeah, I liked a lot of the Lizzo tracks too, and I found myself wondering which of these will noted Lizzo champion Dana like the best. So I do want the answer to that question, Dana. Unless you skip,
you know,
over
I love Truth Hurts, the one
competitive.
The one Chris just played, Truth Hurts, is a total banger. I think maybe Boys was the one that was the newest to me on this list, and I love that. Could we hear a couple minutes of Boys? Not to turn this into an all Lizzo fest, but I do love my Lizzo. Boys with the bow tie, get your nails did, let it blow dry. I like a big beard, I like a clean face. I don't discriminate, come and get a taste. From the playboys to the gay boys, go and slay boys, you my fake boys. Baby, I don't need you, I don't need you. Just wanna freak you. I wanted it. I heard you were freak too. That's right. One of the fun things about this is you get to say things like this. A song I really responded to is If You See My Enemies by Rubble Bucket. And I think that's another one where we need to play through to the chorus.
So I love this song. I found myself in this year's list trying to find the songs that had the sonic swagger that I look for in a strut with some level of lyrical prickliness. Like when it's just like strut, 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 and then the song is like, I'm awesome, yeah, it feels less interesting than when there's some counterpoint. And so I love that that song feels like a song in tone, like, and it has this aggressive title, If You See My Enemies, that feels like it's going to be like a trash talk or something. And then somehow the chorus is, if you see my enemies, tell them that I stand corrected. If you see my enemies, tell them I want to be friends again. Like, just the cross currents of that made it sticky and made me like it every time I heard it instead of only the first time.
Yeah, I like that one too. And I like the way it heads in unexpected directions. There's even like a synth hook that pops up about a third of the way through that reminded me of Toto's Africa without actually being Africa. So it's oddly sweet and yet strutty and badass at the same time. I knew nothing about Rubble Bucket. They're a Brooklyn male-female duo. And I don't know. It's just a really creative record.
Can I make an associative leap from that?
Sure.
The idea of counterintuitive lyrics and also a local Brooklyn band. I really love The Stoop by Little Jackie. Did you guys get into that song? And one of the things I love about it, well, we'll listen in a second. It's got an incredibly funky beat. It's got that sort of, you know, retro soul sound that I always fall for. And it's about a bunch of guys hanging out on a stoop in Brooklyn. But what's so great about it is it's the sweetest tale of hanging out on a stoop. I kept listening to it thinking, oh, my daughter would love this. But any second now, they're going to talk about, oh, popping pussy on the stoop, whatever, smoking weed on the stoop. And the worst thing they do on the stoop is like watch the church ladies go by and drink a beer. It's just it's so sweet and it's so catchy. Saturday afternoon, we talk about the night before, and tonight we're gonna do it some more. Sunday morning, hear the bands in the church play all day long. Every block is a new song. Sitting on the stupid bedstop, always say hi when the brothers walk by. Just proper etiquette, sitting on the top step with a bag of chips to sit back, relax, enjoy the bricks. We got a liberty philosophy. I don't mess with you, you don't mess with me. It is what it is. It ain't all hard up in the hood. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the bricks. I mean, how good is that lyric?
It's so good. What do we know about Little Jackie?
That's not a new song, right?
No, it's not. It's about a decade old. And Little Jackie is not actually a person. It's like a project. It's a side project of a really interesting, I hesitate to call her a pop star because she's basically a one-hit wonder named Imani Coppola. By the way, pretty sure not related to the famed Coppola filmmaking family, but Imani Coppola had a really interesting hit called "Legend of a Cowgirl" in the late '90s, I believe, and that was already very quirky and similarly juxtaposed ideas. Like I believe it sampled an old Donovan song, and a little bit like Lil Nas X, it tried to sound kind of country and hip hop at the same time. Little Jackie was this project she did in the 2000s with a guy named Adam Palin. And so it's got just more of her quirk and like sort of unexpected sweetness.
Okay. This is, I think, also an associative leap somewhat. Is it pronounced the Noisettes?
I think so. I'm not sure I've ever said it out loud before, but I think it is.
Well, if they're French, it's the Noisettes, but are they French?
I know a Noisette. Yeah, but it's not. I don't think they're French. I think they're Brooklyn. But anyway, Never Forget You, I think, is just an amazing cut. We were mischievous, and you were always wearing black. I was so serious. You know my boyfriend's mama nearly had a heart attack. I'm sorry I'm a little late. You know the stripes on a tiger. I mean, I'll tell you, Chris, what I love about that song is that it's first of all, the vocal just cuts through all the fog and ambivalence of life, right? Like it's just got a knifing. She has a knifing quality to that voice that I love. And then secondly, the song is so beautifully poised between, like, you know, neo retro garage rock and neo retro R&B. It's like bringing together those two elements in a way that I thought was just really, really cool.
And I love at the end of the chorus, there's like a chord they hit that's very Phil Spector, very old school. Remember you. It sounds like it could be the Ronettes or something like that. That record was actually a UK hit. I had to look this up. It was a top 20 hit. They are a British band. And they actually even had an even bigger hit called Don't Upset the Rhythm, which was a number two hit. But Never Forget You was a top 20 hit. And yeah, just the sound of that record is amazing.
Yeah. And they didn't really break through here.
They did not break through here. No. But
when is it from?
It's from like the late 2000s. It's around like 2009. So it's about a decade old, that record. Huh. It's kind of, which makes it interesting, right? Because it falls into that, may she rest in peace, Amy Winehouse pocket at the end of the aughts. When there was a lot of that sort of, I don't want to call it neo soul because that's a different term that means something different, but this kind of northern soul revival that was happening with artists like Amy Winehouse and Duffy, and even the very first album by Adele, there was a lot of that on the British charts at the end of the aughts, and the Noisettes, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, I think are in that pocket too. I want to highlight a song that was sent to us by, I think if I'm using Steve's term, an EFOP, an extreme friend of the program, and that would be Jody Rosen, who claims he had never sent in a Summer Strut song before, but he is over the moon about this Afrobeat artist from Nigeria named Tekno, T-E-K-N-O, and the song is Pana.
Yes. Yes, that song is good.
I love the sound of this record. And frankly, I came across it on the playlist and was enjoying it before I went back to my email and realized that it was Jody who submitted it. It is a legitimately phenomenal record. My love for you, you never die, you never die. If I ever, oh baby, if I ever, baby, you too sweet, if I ever, a baby dancing to the lagwaja, make a take you to Papalada. If I ever, oh baby, if I ever, baby, you too sweet, if I ever. I love that little skittering, almost video game-like sound that comes up, you know, once every measure. That is so cool. I love the fluttery synths. I love the way it wafts. And that wasn't even the only techno song on the playlist. Somebody else submitted another one, and it wasn't Jody, called Your Love, that was equally terrific. So, yeah, techno's got some jams.
All right. Well, I'm going to throw to something that perhaps there's a whole story I should know extensively, but I think we should listen to High featuring Elton John by Young Thug.
Oh, I loved this one.
I mean, it's the oldest trick in the book to sample a great old song and then do something interesting and new with it. But I really haven't heard Elton John's sonic qualities used that way. And it's there's something about the fullness of the sample that makes the whole thing feel really lush. And, you know, I tell me what that song is, but I responded to it.
Lush is a great word for it. I love, so it's obviously, for those few people who can't recognize the sample, it's from Rocketman, the song by Elton John, also the title of his summer movie. Although this song came out in 2018, it came out on an EP that Young Thug, the Atlanta rapper, put out last fall. Young Thug has sort of been like all over the place. For example, he rapped the hook on Camila Cabello's hit Havana last year, Havana Hunana. He had the rap on that. And then, you know, he's released several hit albums under his own name. And I think he's got another album coming out shortly. But yeah, the lushness of that record, it soars in a way that you don't expect. It reminds me a little bit of... about a decade ago, if you know the Philadelphia artist Girl Talk, who was sort of the king of the mashup, he would put together these songs that mashed up, you know, literally dozens of songs in a single track. And probably his most famous is a song that I believe is called Smash Your Head, where he takes Elton John's Tiny Dancer and puts it up against Juicy by the Notorious B.I.G. and makes this already very poetic Biggie song like that much more moving. And you know, almost poignant. And I get a similar vibe from High, which is taking the line, I'm going to be high, like as a kite by then, from Rocket Man.
We got this wonderful email to Culturefest from a listener named Krissa Corbett Kavoris, where she gave us each a dedication. She said, I have a song that I think each host will enjoy individually. And I loved all three of the songs she sent. But in particular, I had to get back to her with a story about the song that she dedicated to me, which is a live version of the Brazilian classic, the Tropicalista classic, Espresso Dois 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 Dois, Espresso 2222, which is an old Gilberto Gil song. He had a whole album called that, I believe, in the early 70s. And a couple years ago, Gilberto Gil and Caetano Veloso, the two kind of legends of tropicalist music, were touring the U.S. together, and she was at their concert at BAM. I just want Krissa to know that I was waiting at that same concert outside online for an hour trying to get in, and it was completely sold out. I couldn't get a ticket, but I love this version of Espresso Dois 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 live by two guys who have been singing together for 40 years. Central do Brasil, que parte direto de bom sucesso. Pra depois do ano 2000, dizem que tem muita gente de agora se adiantando, partindo pra lá, pra 2002 e tempo agora. Até onde essa estrada? O tempo vai dar, o tempo vai dar, o tempo vai, tá menina, do tempo vai. Se do And just to twist the knife a little further, Krissa also included a link to some bootlegged fan video. Actually, that's very kind of her. I can at least pretend that I got into that dream show a couple years ago. So thanks, Krissa. And Julia, I'm very curious whether you dug the song that Krissa dedicated to you, because that was one of my favorites on the list, too.
Do you have the email handy that she sent?
Yeah. Because this song is winkingly ridiculous and completely infectious in a way I feel she will most appreciate, and because it's a very clever satire layered on with a hot pink trowel, particularly the video, I suggest Kim Petra's I Don't Want It At All. She says it's also a certified banger for workouts. If I cannot get it right now.
So I have to say, I felt so seen and known by Krissa, and that's like one of the things that's fun about this list is you guys, listeners, recommending stuff that's going to be so fun and that I'm going to listen to for the next year. But this is another one that, like the Angelique Kidjo cover of Once in a Lifetime, has been in my like heavy rotation for the last 12 months because it is exactly as she described, winking and infectious and a satire layered on with a hot pink trowel. And I would encourage our listeners to go spend more time with that song. Smarter than it sounds in a very funny way.
Yeah, that song is wildly catchy.
Can you tell us about Kim Petras?
What I know about Kim Petras is that she's a German synth popper, and that song was actually a minor hit in clubs. So I think it actually made the club play chart. And I love that chorus hook, just the rapid fire, you know, I don't want it at all. That's the part that it goes from sort of already catchy to irresistible to me anyway.
I have to say the lyrical content of that song really is layered with all kinds of irony and wit. I mean, I get so over songs that are all about, oh, this is a slightly ironic list of brand names that I want. You know, Ariana Grande has one, I think a recent one, right?
Or Seven Rings, about, yeah.
Right. And I know that they're always intended with some layer of, you know, sort of Marilyn Monroe, Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend type irony. But I always feel that there are so many kids and teenagers listening to them, just turning them into lists of brands that they do want. And that song does some smart things with that trope.
Totally. Mm-hmm.
All right. I'll mix it up a little bit. I had never heard of an indie rock band called The Beths, like the name Beth, but plural. And I loved the cut Happy Unhappy. And it's from an album whose title is so great it deserves mentioning. The album is called Future Me Hates Me. I mean, right?
That's so Steve. It's funny. I like that song a lot, too. But I heard that and I thought it's going straight into Steve's short list.
Yeah, very Metcalfian.
Can I tell you something very Metcalfian?
It's great. It's not Metcalfing. It's awesome.
No, it is great. It's
Steve's
one of my
favorites. Steve's future self hates him, too. Wait, Steve, I have to tell you about something about The Best that makes them even more Stevenian. Can I tell you?
Please.
They're from New Zealand. They're a New Zealand indie pop band.
See what I mean, man?
Like, Julia, why do you take any of this as your victory, as your triumph?
That was a generous laugh of love and comradeship, Steve. I don't know why take that as triumphant.
It just sounded like a murder of crows. But here's my question, Julia. Do you, like, setting aside its Metcalfianness, did you like the song?
I did like that song. It made my short list, but not my short list. My methodological process by which I very seriously consider hundreds of songs is goofy. but I did like that song. It reminds me a little bit of like old school Belle and Sebastian. It has that rhythm, which I think for my strut requirements is like a little bit too rhythmically fast. Like I want something that's a little bit more slowed down in my own strutitude, but I do like that song.
It's like middle school Belle and Sebastian, like old school Belle and Sebastian is when they were really quiet and sad bastard. Middle school is like when they started having like danceable rock beats. And so,
hey, Chris,
yeah.
I'll tell you what it reminds me of. Do you by any chance know this band Heavenly?
I do know Heavenly, yes. I was going to say the whole record sounded very 90s to me, and I meant that as a compliment. It felt very 90s to me.
Heavenly, just to me, is one of the truly most underrated indie rock bands of all time. But anyway.
They called Heavenly in the 90s Dream Pop. Like, Dream Pop has come to mean something different, I think, in the subsequent 20 years. But we called Heavenly kind of a Dream Pop band, and I got that vibe from them. I liked it a lot. No kidding.
Oh, good.
So if the queen of the list is Lizzo, I think the king of the list with at least three songs, maybe four, is Ezra Koenig of Vampire Weekend, because Vampire Weekend have a new album out, Father of the Bride. I believe you all have talked about it. Carl Wilson did a very good review of Father of the Bride for Slate. Probably the catchiest song on here is Harmony Hall, which was the first single from the album. And, you know, it's got more of that Vampire Weekend sort of Afrobeat filtered through New York indie thing that they do so well. And that was just especially catchy. But every time a proud mess, another one begins. And the stone wall was a vomiting all bear witness. Anybody with a word in mind can never forgive the sight of wicked snakes inside a place you thought was dignified. I don't wanna live like this, but I don't wanna die. Yeah, and I think that quote, "I don't want to live like this, but I don't want to die," has already been quoted in several reviews of the Vampire Weekend album as sort of the Trump-era lyric of the year. You know, can't live like this, but I don't want to die. So depressing, and yet in the context of this very cheery, up pop song.
All right. Well, in the spirit of Vampire Weekend and talking about artists who've had big deal years, I would like to nominate Mainstream Kid by Brandi Carlile. Oh my God. The things I love about this song. Okay, number one, it's again has that lyrical prickliness. Like, it is employing kind of marketing jargon in the context of like a fiddle rich country banger, which is great. And then it seems to be about the whole question of, you know, if you want to cross over to the mainstream, do you fundamentally sand down your edges and lose yourself? And I think it's basically arguing that, yes, you do. And then yet, on the other hand, she's this really interesting, prickly alt country artist. Chris, you can correct me if that's the inappropriate designation, who's had a big year and is getting bigger and bigger. And, you know, I had read about her work, and we've published things about her work here at the LA Times. And I just hadn't actually gone to listen to it in the way that sometimes you don't get around to it. And this came on while I was driving. And immediate, you know, a lot of these songs I kind of have to sit with because they have the qualities of being a strut, but I can't tell if they're actually going to be durable. And this one, from the moment I heard it, I was like, hell yes, this is my jam.
Yeah, it's an amazing track. It's from her, I want to call it her breakthrough album, which is not the one she was just Grammy nominated for, By the Way, I Forgive You. It's from The Fire Watcher's Daughter, which was her 2015 album, and I believe her first top 10 album, and kind of the one that really got everybody's eyes on her. And, you know, you were right to question what genre she belongs to, because, of course, there's this bastardized term that gets thrown around, which is Americana, which has become code for people who, in theory, are country, but will never get on country radio. And, you know, Brandi Carlile, you know, fits that profile to a T, but, you know, she's kind of moved beyond that, you know, with particularly at the Grammys this year, she kind of knocked everybody's socks off. Like, she was the most underestimated artist in the major categories in the Grammys, with a lot of people saying, who is this person and why is she in the record of the year and the album of the year category? And then she did her live performance and just kind of blew everybody's minds. And everybody's like, wow, I'm never going to doubt Brandi Carlile again. She's really amazing.
I love that cut. It was on my list. On my short list, I'm so glad you mentioned it.
All right, I'm going to cheat and cram a whole genre of song into this turn, which is, I realized as I was walking around, usually walking the dog, listening to this very long list over 20 hours, that I really loved the wordless struts. There's just something about a lyrics-free funk jam that I started to think of it, and I made a subcategory in my mind of the songs I liked as the kind of 70s walking down the street music, you know, like you're in some old cartoon and like a guy is roller skating by with a fro waving at you. You know, this is the music that's playing in that moment. And it's from all over the place. There was one from a German funk band, then one from a band that I think is American. You can tell me about these people maybe. But the three that I had marked, and there are more than this on the list, but the three that I had marked were Donkey Jamboree by Ralph Towner and Gary Burton, Buster by the Whitefield Brothers, and then something called The Forgotten People by Thievery Corporation, which I think is not an old school funk, just sounds like it. It's sort of the newest of the three.
That was Thievery Corporation, and they've been around since the 90s. They were coming up when, to use a term that I used in my Madonna episode of Hit Parade, the bastardized term electronica was sort of being used as the catch-all category for, you know, thoughtful pseudo-dance music that is cerebral but also electronic in nature. And they have elements of dub, reggae, acid jazz, you know, they've kind of been all over the place. And they've recorded a number of hit albums and, but you know, they're in kind of indie circles, they're kind of a big deal, but, and they've just been around forever.
That piece to me almost had an Ennio Morricone soundtrack kind of feeling.
Totally.
There's something kind of menacing and a little bit campy about it. And it's just, it's super fun to walk
through. I mean, I could have sworn I heard Spaghetti Western whistling in it. You know?
There may be samples of it in there. I don't know.
Very Sergio Leone.
Yes. There totally is. I loved that song. And then I disqualified it for having no lyrics because I'm not as inventive mentally as Dana.
Well, sometimes, I mean, this is a whole different topic, but sometimes I listen to music to get away from words. That's why it's also great that there were a lot of songs on this list in languages that I didn't know or didn't know very well, is that there's something great about losing yourself in the pure sound and not worrying about the lyrics, which I'm always trying to do when they're there. I'm trying to understand them and interpret them.
I think this is pretty strutty. There's something, I don't know this artist, but something about her voice really bewitches me. So I'd like to... submit it to the group. Her name is Natalie Prass, P-R-A-S-S, and Short Court Style is the cut. Singer. I mean, there's just that voice just immediately is in your bloodstream.
And she, you know, for a frankly white singer-songwriter from Richmond, Virginia, she's got the intonation of like an R&B vocalist from like the early 80s. I love the way she's singing that record. I actually had to look this up. It was a minor hit. It actually made like the lower rungs of Billboard's AAA chart, which stands for Adult Album Alternative. It's kind of like that chart that plays like everything from Vampire Weekend to Adele. And it was a small hit on that chart. But I love the vibe of that record a lot.
Adult, what is it? Adult?
That's a term. Yeah. It's basically for like not alt rock, which is like all, you know, Foo Fighters and stuff. It's like, you know, Adult Album Alternative, which is kind of like AOR for people who like indie rock.
I want to die. Just put the adult diaper on me now. It's just fucking horrible.
No, that's music listened to by like 30 somethings and 40 somethings, not like 60 somethings.
Even worse.
All right. I can't make you feel better, Steve. I'm sorry.
No one can, Chris.
Can I be a little boring and just shout out some like big ass hits that some people submitted because I was sort of fascinated? When was the last time anybody heard the Georgia Satellites "Keep Your Hands to Yourself"?
I know. I just think of that. Yeah,
so fun.
That made me chuckle. Try 30. That was a number two hit in 1987. And I haven't listened to it in at least two decades. It's almost a novelty record, but a really, really good one. I got a little change in my pocket, going jingle-lang-a-lang. Want to call you on the telephone, baby. I give you a ring, but each time we talk, I get the same old thing. Always no huggy-duggies until I get a wedding ring. My honey, my baby, don't put my love upon no shelf. She said, don't hear me no lie. And keep your hands to yourself. It's like an 80s rock record that fronts like a country record because it's a story song. I don't know. I really like that one. Somebody else threw in LaBelle's Lady Marmalade, the original version from 1975 by Patti LaBelle and Nona Hendrix, you know, the trio. That's an amazing record. From the aughts, somebody threw in Can't Get You Out of My Head by Kylie Minogue, which is sort of like, you know, an early aughts mashup era classic. Na, 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 na. That one, yeah.
Isn't that one? Oh my God, there's so many choices, and I want to name them all. I might have to send my shortlist as a link for the website, but Icon by Ohm, O-H-M-M. She's hungry to distraction. He's better.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
And then that chorus, I loved this one.
I think that one falls under the category of what we called, I think last year, hammock songs. You know, it's not quite a strutter, it's a relaxer, and it's something that you want to listen to, like you say, again and again to get the subtleties of the lyrics while it also has this crazy hook.
Yeah, and the vocal reminded me of like the Roaches, or, you know, it was almost folky, except they're totally indie rock. You know, they're classic indie rock, if you will. Yeah, I really like that a lot.
This one, because it has just like the Brazilian song, has a personal connection for me. Foxy Girls in Oakland by Roger Collins, which is another oldie. I think it's from 1970. And the story for me of this song was just that when I lived in Oakland and hung out with a bunch of Oakland-based musicians, this was sort of, you know, this was like our theme song, Foxy Girls in Oakland. We would just sort of blast it driving around. And then a year or two into being into this song, I discovered that a few blocks down from us in Oakland lived Roger Collins, who had by then changed his name,
what?
Converted to Islam, and changed his name to Haji Raja Kasim Sabri, and was running an auto repair shop or an appliance repair store. So he was just a businessman in Oakland and had retired from music long ago, but was excited to know that there was this musician on his street who liked Foxy Girls in Oakland and was a fan, and we should talk to him on his porch. So anyway, for Roger Collins, Foxy Girls in Oakland. Big pretty legs in Oakland, when they like it right over your feet. You don't watch yourself. You can hear the ooh and on all the way across the bay. Yeah, you can. All of the guys in Frisco don't do nothing all day.
All right, I don't even know what language I'm about to be speaking, but maybe someone can help me out. I think the artist is Luigi Luna, L-U-E-D-J-I, Luna, L-U-N-A. Baño de Folhas is the cut, the Nyack remix, whatever any of that means, but let's listen to it. Vou pedir a outra.
I'm a little surprised that came from you and not Dana, because that seems to be
it's Portuguese.
But it's fantastic. And that kind of combination of modern EDM-ish beats with, you know, Brazilian sounds, very Bebel Gilberto, it sounded like to me, but except it's not her at all. I really like that a lot.
Oh, cool. I'm glad you did.
Another hammock song for sure, right?
Totally.
In a hammock with a cool drink.
Bebel Gilberto, everything she's done for the last 20 years has been like hammock music. It's been like, you know, little gentle, slightly danceable beats crossed with, you know, Portuguese samba.
Oh, somebody submitted a Bebel song that was with Carlinhos Brown. That was a great one. What was that?
Yeah, Chica Chica Boom Chic.
Which is a cover of a Carmen Miranda song. Okay, an old movie classic.
And yet they've kind of run it through the Bebel Gilberto Carlinhos Brown, you know, filter. You know,
that's a gorgeous one. Can we hear 1 minute of that? Ele também numa batucada.
Yeah, that one's terrific.
Yep.
There are so many different directions I could take this, but I want to play a song that was in this year's Eurovision Song Contest. Let's play Mickey Nunez, La Venda. It goes from these irresistible verses and this awesome brass to this soaring chorus. Anyway, this was Spain's bid in the Eurovision Song Contest in Tel Aviv. I don't think it won. And as a pop follower, I should know better what won Eurovision. But I don't know. It just caught my ear immediately. And I love the tightness of it. And I don't know if it counts as strut. It kind of makes you want to dance. But I got a huge kick out of that one.
Well, this episode tends to be one long endorsement. And also, I feel like there are a lot of songs left unmentioned thus far. So maybe kind of as a quasi-endorsement segment, we'll go around the horn one more time with one more song and, I don't know, just make it sort of especially endorsey or personal or whatever you want to do. Chris, what do you got?
Okay. I'd like to thank whoever put Your Silent Face by New Order on the strut mix.
Yes.
I am a huge New Order fan.
Mm-hmm.
This is from their classic 1983 album, Power, Corruption, and Lies. And I love that it's on a summer playlist because I have long said that the shimmery sound of the synthesizers on, you know, peak New Order is very summery. And Your Silent Face is definitely one of those. It's got shimmer to the max. Sound formed in a vacuum may seem a waste of time. It's always been just the same. Hearing or breathing, no movement, no lyrics, just nothing. A sign that leads the way, a path we cannot take. I mean, just one of my favorite records of all time, Power, Corruption, and Lies. You totally, totally nabbed my choice there, Chris. I'm sorry.
There's so many more songs here that I could mention, but the one that just feels like enduring and like we have to talk about it is 17 from Sharon Van Etten. Let's listen to a bit. Just hit me like a revelation. I there's something about the slow build of it. It just kind of turns on. It doesn't really start. It feels like it may have been going on forever and you just happen to be tuning into it. I think it probably as an editor, it is one of my primary jobs in the world to make sure that nobody ever applies the adjective aching to music of any kind. But if it were ever to be allowed, I think there is an aching quality to that. And there's this combination of strut and nostalgia. Again, it has like a lyrics that are cross-cutting against like the slow build. You know, it's a slow motion strut, but there's kind of a propulsiveness to the music and then this mournfulness to the lyric. I think that song is like an enduring jam.
Okay, for my last goodbye, I guess I'm going to pick a new song because I feel like every time it's come to me, I've said, there's this great song from 50 years ago, this fantastic Tropicalista classic from 1972. But I'm actually going to close on a brand new song from an album released just a couple months ago, which is Carly Rae Jepsen's Too Much, which I think, Chris, at your upcoming wedding, this should definitely be one of the dance floor bangers because it's just so fun. And I feel like it will get all generations onto the dance floor. I think that's just kind of the appeal of Carly Rae and the affect of Carly Rae in a nutshell, right? It's just like delivering too much and then asking, is it okay if I pour on some more of this party pop?
A total surfeit of emotion over, you know, soaring EDM beats,
Like cut to the feeling all over again, right? Like that's her thing is like get to the feeling part.
Right. Yeah. You don't need to tell me twice to play Carly Rae Jepsen. I'm always in that camp. So, yeah.
Maybe this is like a two people in a hammock song. It's muddy and maybe not so strutty, but Pussy Is God by King Princess.
Your pussy is God and you know I think you're so cute when you get high. Never been good at this nice shit, but I could try if you like it. Gets hot when you give a fuck. Get knocked down from some other love.
I noticed coming out of that, no one is saying, that is so Steve. I'm really wounded. I know what you people think of me now.
I have to say that about that song, that it falls into this category of lesbian love songs that there were a lot of on the list, right? I mean, it seemed like there were a lot of girls singing sometimes sexy, sometimes romantic songs to other girls. And I love that. I don't have any of the other titles in front of me, but thanks to everybody who sent in one in that genre.
Okay, so I will say we love Dana's conceit of wedding songs for Chris Malamphy so much. That's going to be our plus. We're going to do at least a couple rounds more of songs that we haven't gotten to yet, but really especially targeted to stuff to play at a wedding, especially Chris Malamphy's. All right, so why don't we talk our way out of here? No endorsements this week. Chris, thanks so much for coming on, and I will see you in a minute in Plus.
Thank you, Steve.
You'll find links to some of the things we talked about today at our show page, slate.com/culturefest. You can email us at culturefest@slate.com. We do have a Twitter feed. We'd like to hear from you there. It's @SlateCultFest. Our producer is Benjamin Frisch. Our production assistant is Alex Barish. For Dana and Julia, I'm Steve Metcalf. Thanks so much for joining us. We will see you soon.
Here's a sneak peek at this week's Slate Plus segment. If you want to hear the whole thing, plus ad-free podcasts, join us at slate.com/culture plus.
Well, I was like, it doesn't really sound like them particularly, but I was like, I don't know, man. I'm like not a completist.
I'm trying not to glory in this. Trying not to glory in it. High road. Take the high road, Steve. Deep breath.